Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Jake Gutierrez. Thank you very much for joining us on this Tuesday, March 6, 2018. We have an intern today. Mean Mug, the Northland intern, is with us on this Tuesday. Jamie Bluma will be with us, too. He will join us in studio in the 7 o'clock hour. We'll talk to the captain, Matt Beisler, at around 8:05 or so. And then Rustin Dodd will talk baseball with us around 8:30. Got some sound from Bill Self and Bruce Weber and Konzo Martin, as you heard at the top of the show. So good stuff planned. The calm before the storm, before the Big 12 tournament starts tomorrow down at Sprint Center, and the Miller Lite Fan Fest will be in full effect. And again, we encourage you to come on down there, even if you don't have tickets to the games. Well, first, if you don't have tickets to the games, go to Tickets for Less, ticketsforless.com. Tickets for Less has all the best selection for seats to not only the Big 12 tournament, but if you want to double dip, as Jarrett Sutton is, the Big 12 tournament and the SEC tournament, the NCAA tournament. They've got everything you need at Tickets for Less, so check them out if you don't have tickets. And if you decide not to go to the games, just come on down and enjoy the celebration. I've heard they've got brand new stuff down there at P&L. Maybe some new bells and whistles on stage.
Oh, boy.
They do a great job anyway, and Jason Bradley's awesome down there. He runs the show for all of the entertainment on stage. And so I've heard maybe the viewing experience is going to be even better than it normally is.
Oh, boy.
Wink. Wink. Nudge, nudge.
I made a couple of phone calls to Tickets for Less myself yesterday.
Why a couple?
Well, I had a buddy from Sporting Kansas City who contacted me about wanting to go to a game this Big 12 tournament. And then
Peter Vermees?
Was not Peter.
Okay.
And then my dad wants to go to the session that KU's playing in on Thursday.
He doesn't want to go see Bedlam on Wednesday?
I'm not saying that he doesn't want to, but his priority was to go to the session number two.
I'd rather have him go down to Bedlam and give a live, he doesn't tweet, does he?
No, he just does not tweet.
Maybe get him on Facebook Live and just give him a running commentary on Trey Young's shot selection.
This is terrible!
Right.
Ball hog.
Right.
No defense.
See?
Dad, he's leading the country in assists. Ah, whatever.
Assist this.
So, yeah, so they took care of me, though. Very easy. And they had that convenient pickup location on McGee Street right by the Sprint Center. So if you can't pick them up ahead of time, you can go down there on the day of the game and get your tickets.
So you can come on down and enjoy the games or enjoy the Miller Lite Fan Fest or enjoy both. The Miller Lite Fan Fest presented by Sports Radio 810 WHB, brought to you by our friends at Miller Lite, also Boulevard Brewing Company, and KC Live at the Power and Light District. All kinds of great partners also. State Farm Rally House is down there. They'll be selling all of the latest gear. KC Custom Electronics, Sport Court, Family Leisure, Digital Lagoon, Coca-Cola, Big Brothers Big Sisters, and of course Curtis Siebold. All of our sponsors for the Miller Lite Fan Fest. And we've got a bunch of great stuff coming up on Sports Radio 810 as well. We'll have, of course, the game between Kansas and the winner of Bedlam on Thursday at 2 o'clock right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. And then we'll have the Big 12 semifinals on Friday. We'll have the championship game on Saturday. And then over on our sister station, ESPN Kansas City, we'll have the SEC semifinals on Saturday and the SEC championship on Sunday. And if Missouri goes on a run, then maybe they'll be involved in one or a couple of those games. And if they go on a run, I'm going to get in the car early Sunday morning and I'm gone. I just drive to St. Louis.
What time is tip Sunday?
I believe noon.
Okay, you can do that easy.
Sure I can. Just get up like I normally do for work and then drive to St. Louis, and I'll be there plenty of time.
Yep.
You know?
No worries.
And then we'll see if I come back on Monday.
Well, you got to, because you got to discuss where Missouri ends up in the NCAA tournament on Monday.
I ain't got to do nothing.
Yeah, you do.
I ain't got to do a damn thing. I can call you from the road.
Tell you one thing I know.
I can call you from Caesar's house.
What? You are not going to miss the show the day after Missouri gets back in the NCAA tournament. I don't see that happening.
Right. Right. Well, if they don't make it to the championship game, then I'm going to be hosting the Selection Sunday show. And that takes place, Jake, let me know, the Selection Sunday show takes place on Sunday. So.
Well, that's good to know. Yeah. Good to clarify that.
It's crazy how they do that, right?
You know what? That checked out. So I'm excited about that. So we've got all kinds of great stuff for you coming up on Championship Week here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. And the latest bracketology from Joe Lunardi was finally released. Boy, Jerry Palm gets to it first before Joe Lunardi. I'm disappointed
always
in the timing of Joe Lunardi. Jerry Palm updates his every morning very early. And yesterday you kept looking for Joe Lunardi's, and finally it was updated by the time we got off the air. But Joe Lunardi has Kansas, of course, a number one seed, playing Nichols. And then they would face the winner in the 8-9 game between Creighton and Florida State. Boy, I'd like to see Kansas and Creighton in the second round. That'd be fun.
That can be good.
As far as the other Big 12 schools, still in, they have Lunardi has Oklahoma as a 10 seed, taking on Texas A&M in the Midwest. Oklahoma still a 10 seed. All right. Wichita State, a 4 seed. TCU, a 6 in the East. Kansas State, a 10 seed. Has Kansas State as a 10 seed in the South, going to Pittsburgh to take on Seton Hall in the 7-10 matchup. And so that's not a bad matchup.
Well, if you need the reminder that the NCAA selection committee does not care about conference record, if Joe Lunardi's right about that and TCU's a 6 and Kansas State is a 10, that tells you all you need to know is K-State finished a game ahead of TCU in the Big 12 standings.
Right. Well, what was Oklahoma's record?
Right. Oklahoma is 2 games below K-State.
And they have the same seed.
Same seed.
In Joe Lunardi's bracket. Also, Baylor as an 11 seed is in. He's got Texas Tech as a 4. As far as Missouri, he has them trending upwards as an 8 seed.
All right.
The 8-9 game, he has Missouri-Butler, and he has them in the South with the number 1 seed, Virginia. What team, if you were going to be in an 8-9 game and you had to play a number 1 seed in the second round, what number 1 seed would you most like to play? Virginia, Villanova, Xavier, or Kansas?
Well, that's something I haven't really considered yet. I don't know.
I think Virginia.
My initial response is Xavier or Kansas. Right.
I'm not really interested in Villanova.
No.
I don't know why.
I think Villanova's really good.
I don't think I want to play Virginia either. That defense is tremendous.
I mean, I guess I haven't seen a whole lot of Xavier, so that's maybe where I lean that way. But I've seen a lot of Villanova and a lot of Virginia, and both those teams are really solid.
And Nova's got the player of the year.
And Kansas is extremely bipolar. You don't know which. You know, they're either really good or they are going to get run out of the gym like they did last weekend.
Did Joe Lunardi not get the memo from Bill Self?
What memo?
Well, he's still got Kansas on the one line.
No.
Bill Self said to close the book on that.
Joe Lunardi doesn't care about outside influences.
That's right.
He just cares about his hair and this bracket.
Tell you what, though, if he's right and Missouri is on that 8-9 line, that makes it a 1-4 chance if Kansas is on the 2 line that they or on the 1 line that they could end up in the same place.
It also means if they're at an 8, they could rise, get out of that 8-9 game, get to a 7.
Yeah.
Or maybe even a 6 if they win a couple of games.
Sure.
Because the first game, that's not going to help at all, beating Georgia or Vandy. But that second game against Kentucky, right there, that would be a big one.
Win that game, that could bump you up a line.
And then everything else is gravy. He has Kentucky. I think he has Kentucky as a 6 seed. But, yeah, he has Kentucky as a 6 seed in Nashville. As far as the first four out, Louisville, Marquette, Oklahoma State. So Oklahoma State's going to come to Kansas City playing for their tournament lives. So they'll play Oklahoma on Wednesday, and then they'll play Kansas on Thursday. And so once again, Kansas will be playing a desperate Oklahoma State team with the knowledge that, I mean, I would feel pretty safe if they really are among the first four out. If they came to Kansas City and beat Oklahoma and beat Kansas, well, I think that would put them in. Don't you?
Maybe.
We'd put them in, I think. If they beat Kansas for a third time.
Yeah. I mean, that's a bunch of quadrant one wins.
What's Oklahoma now? Is Oklahoma, what quadrant are they in, Mr.? You're Mr. Quadrant over there.
Stand by.
I'm a fan of quadrant two.
Last four in, Texas, USC, UCLA, and Alabama. Last four byes, Kansas State, Providence, Arizona State, and Baylor. So those are the last four teams that are safely in the tournament without having to play a play-in game.
Oklahoma's 37th in the RPI. I think that playing a 37th ranked team on a neutral court would be a quadrant one win.
And then so if they beat Oklahoma and Kansas, I mean, I feel pretty strongly about moving them in.
Yeah.
And their last three games would have been a win against Kansas, a win against Oklahoma, and another win against Kansas. Nate doesn't want to put him in. He doesn't think beating Kansas is that much of a big deal, I guess, nowadays. Whatever. I do. I mean,
well,
I think
they've done it twice in their.
I mean, I still, you know, I think it's. I'm not going to turn my nose up at that. So, man, you're tough to figure out sometimes. Maybe it's are you mad at Oklahoma State? Do you not want them in? Or?
No, I'm not. No, I think it'd be great. Let's get 9 of the 10 teams in the Big 12 in.
Here's what I'm rooting for. I want Oklahoma State to win. So we can see Oklahoma State and Kansas again. And then I want Iowa State to beat Texas because I like Iowa State and I don't like Texas. And I feel like if Texas would lose to Iowa State, that would end their tournament chances. So.
All right, here's
and then, and then that would be fun for everyone, I think.
Yeah.
Right?
Here's what you need to know about quadrant one wins.
I don't want to know anything about it, but go ahead.
Everyone's going to be playing on a neutral court from here on out.
Are you sure?
That's the way I understand conference tournaments work.
All right.
A quadrant one win is a top 30 RPI win at home, a top 50 RPI win on a neutral court, and a top 75 win on the road. So anything, if you play a top 50 RPI team in the tournament and in your conference tournament and win, that's a quadrant one win.
So if
Oklahoma State were to beat Oklahoma, that would be a quadrant one victory.
And then if they beat Kansas again, that's another one.
Yeah. Kansas is fifth in the RPI.
They'll be lucky to beat Oklahoma. They're not going to beat Kansas again.
I don't know, man. They seem to have the matchup. We'll see.
Is that what it is, Jake? They've got the matchup?
They're
a Rubik's Cube that Bill Self cannot solve this year?
Yeah, I mean, it's... Hey, history's there. He has trouble with Oklahoma State. But I think this is a different deal. I think this is a different deal.
He says it's a different deal, Nate.
Well, I mean, it's the first time that, you know, Kansas has ever been swept in a series in the history of Bill Self's time at Kansas.
And so the question is, does that mean that they have KU's number in a way that some other teams haven't? Or does that mean that there's no way they could beat them again?
No, I think that the problem that Kansas ran into is motivation. They were not motivated last weekend.
I totally agree with that.
That was, I mean, and I get it. I don't know if I would have been motivated in that situation, but I think Bill Self is going to sell the fact that what he said with Craig Gurley, we're not one. We have to go earn it. And I think this team wants to be a one seed, and I think that they'll go earn it. At least go get a win against that whoever they play, Oklahoma or Oklahoma State. I don't think they're going to have a problem with it. But
Lunardi has 8 from the SEC, 8 from the Big 12, and 8 from the ACC getting in.
Oof.
So I've got your answer to, you asked earlier if I would want to play Oklahoma or Oklahoma State if I'm a Kansas fan. Well, from a seeding standpoint, you want Oklahoma because that would be a quadrant one victory.
That's stupid. I'm just telling you.
It's just the truth.
Flawed system.
It is a flawed system, but the system is what it is, and if quadrant one wins matter, you get a chance. You don't get a chance at a quadrant one win if you play Oklahoma State because they're like 80th in the RPI, whereas Oklahoma is 37th. By the way, K-State gets a chance at a quadrant one win. TCU would be a quadrant one if they could beat them on Thursday.
I think we can just forget about Kansas being a one seed, though.
Not according to Joe Lunardi. Depends on who you believe.
You believe Bill Self?
Nope. People can forget about one seed. Nope. You know, we're not on the board for one seed now. I mean, people can forget about a lot of things like that. But
West Virginia's a four. Mike Anderson has Arkansas at a seven.
There you go.
I don't know. Like, what else can Oklahoma do to show that they're not very good? Like, what? I mean, like, what?
Well,
if they went out against Oklahoma State and the entire team just dropped trowel and took a dump on the court and then walked off, they'd still be in the tournament. Then they'd be like a eight seed.
It'd be an interesting strategy.
Because some would say they've done that over the past 2 months, several times.
Well, that's maybe...
They did that, seven games in a row?
You could say that's a flaw in the system or not, but they don't just look at how you've done over the last, you know, month or two. They look over the whole season. So, you know, that's... They're trying to put emphasis, on non-con. I mean, in the non-con, they got wins over USC, Wichita State, you know, and they beat TCU at the beginning of the year. They beat Texas Tech, beat TCU twice. So, and they lost to Arkansas, beat Oregon. So that's what has them still up there is what they did back in November. You can say, look, who cares what you did in November? I don't disagree with you, but that's the way the selection committee, they look at the whole thing. They don't just look at who's trending up and who's trending down.
They should. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk more about the Big 12 tournament coming up, the SEC tournament, the NCAA tournament. We've got Royals baseball going on in Surprise, Arizona, spring training. Players still unsigned. The new salary cap number has come out in the NFL. There's news everywhere. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. All right, Kansas City. Tonight, if you're in the mood for basketball and you want to come out and have a good time in the Northland, up in Liberty to be specific, the Tiger Club of Kansas City is having one of their power hours tonight at Conrad's Restaurant and Ale House right there at 210 and 291 in Liberty. I'm going to be the host, and we're going to have a couple of guest speakers and little roundtable discussion, answer questions, Q&A session. It'll be me and our good friend Jarrett Sutton, former Mizzou basketball player and SEC Network analyst, and then former Mizzou star and former NBA player Kareem Rush. So it'll be me, Jarrett Sutton, and Kareem Rush. Last time, Michael Porter Sr. joined us on FaceTime, and I interviewed him, and so we'll see if Michael Porter Sr. could join us again tonight. That's what they are pursuing, or one of the assistant coaches from Mizzou. But for sure, it'll be me and Jarrett Sutton and Kareem Rush live. The festivities begin at 6 o'clock, and we'll see how long they run. But free entry for all Tiger Club of KC members. Non-members and guest entry fee is just $5. And then they're going to have a full menu offered for dinner and a cash bar, which probably makes what I have to say go a little bit better. If you've had one or two, you know.
Well, we used to play a game called Hour of Power.
I'm funny. Well, that's different.
A little different in college.
Sure. But you know what? We'll ask Jarrett Sutton and Kareem Rush. Maybe they know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
But come on out and see us. We're going to talk about the SEC tournament, talk basketball, talk whatever you want with me and Jarrett Sutton and Kareem Rush tonight at the Tiger Club of Kansas City Power Hour at Conrad's Restaurant and Ale House, right there off 210 and 291 in Liberty. Now, Nate Buchady was asking me a question in the commercial break, and I will answer it. He was asking me about all this news about Canelo Alvarez last night, and I will refer to Kevin Ioli, who was all over the story, our man that comes on the show and talks MMA and boxing with us, and I will just read from his story. The hotly anticipated middleweight title rematch between Canelo Alvarez and Triple G, set for May 5th at T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas, is in at least some jeopardy after Alvarez tested positive for trace amounts of clenbuterol. Alvarez was training in his native Mexico when the positive test was discovered. Alvarez twice failed tests on February 17th and February 20th, both for trace amounts of the drug. Both the February 17th sample and February 20th sample were received at the lab on February 21st. Golden Boy Promotions, which represents Alvarez, stated the positive test is consistent with meat contamination that has impacted dozens of athletes in Mexico over the last few years. In the news release from Golden Boy, the president and lab director of the Sports Medicine Research and Testing Laboratory, Dr. Daniel Eichner, he conducted the test of Alvarez, stated, these values are all within the range of what is expected from meat contamination. Clenbuterol is often fed to animals intended for meat consumption in China and Mexico because it helps produce leaner meat. Notably, members of the Mexican soccer team playing in the 2011 CONCACAF Gold Cup were cleared of anti-doping charges after initially testing positive for clenbuterol. It was found they had eaten contaminated meat, though notably, they did not play in the tournament. Do you remember that, Nate Buchanan?
Yes, I do remember that.
Do you have any idea what I'm talking about?
I do remember that.
Have you ever had tainted meat by any chance?
I don't know, probably.
I can promise you that you have.
Do you put the meat inside before you shake it?
No way, baby. I'm holding on to the meat.
Did anyone, when you were at KU, accuse you of having tainted meat?
No.
Back in your college days. All right. Jake?
Nobody was exposed to my meat in college.
Thank you. Wes?
Yeah, nothing. Shot of penicillin didn't take care of them.
In 2016, boxer Francisco Vargas tested positive for clenbuterol before a fight with Orlando Salido, but the California State Athletic Commission licensed him provisionally, and he later passed test. In a statement from Canelo Alvarez, he said, I am an athlete who respects the sport, and this surprises me and bothers me because it has never happened to me. I will submit to all the tests that require me to clarify this embarrassing situation, and I trust that at the end the truth will prevail. And I would, most people think this is not going to affect the fight because of the trace amounts. I know that, because it is consistent with tainted meat, but that does create a cloud of suspicion. But as we've talked about many times, I'm not surprised by any athlete in any sport that gets popped for PEDs. But if this really is meat contamination and it is a serious problem in Mexico, I don't know what to tell you. Victor Conte, I know you're a big fan of Victor Conte, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. He's a class act.
So Kevin Ioli called him. He has nothing to do with Canelo or Golden Boy or anything else. He's just a guy that knows a lot about PEDs.
Yeah, he knows how to.
Hey.
He knows everything about him.
Right. And so he was interviewed for this. Kevin Ioli talked to him, and he said that he believes this is a case of meat contamination. Conte said he believes that boxers in the past intentionally used clenbuterol and said it would be a very effective substance for a boxer. He said it's an asthma medication, which they call a bronchial dilator, and that's when the use is what the medically indicated use is, but bodybuilders for years have used it. It's not an anabolic steroid, but it's an anabolic agent. That means it helps to retain muscle or build muscle and burns body fat, which exactly is what a bodybuilder wants to do. But he said he believes that this case is one stemming from meat contamination because of the amount that was found, the trace amounts. The concentration of clenbuterol was so low, and that is the significant point of this, Conte said. He said, when they say trace amounts, it's way down in parts per trillion. You have parts per million, parts per billion, and parts per trillion. You have trace, then this would be called ultra trace concentrations. So it is very likely it came from a contaminated meat source. But this is given the opportunity for all the Canelo haters to crush him and all the Canelo supporters to defend him. I don't know. Just keep testing him and then leave it up to Triple G. But I'm going to go ahead and tell you that Triple G is going to still want to fight because he wants $20 million, and they're going to let Canelo fight. And if he gets tested again and again and again and again and clears it, then you could probably chalk it up to, yes, it was meat contamination, because it would be surprising that someone would be that stupid this close to a huge fight like this, and he's never tested positive before in his life. Like, and so someone that was crushing him on Twitter, I just thought that was funny. Like, what the hell is he doing eating meat from Mexico? I mean, why is he eating meat from Mexico?
Well, he lives there, doesn't he?
And then someone like, he lives and trains there. Other than that, I don't know why he would be eating meat from Mexico, besides the fact that he lives there and trains there. Screw the details, right?
Yeah.
So we'll see.
I wonder if I would test positive for PEDs.
Absolutely.
I take, you know, I take an albuterol inhaler because, you know, Conte said that clenbuterol is used for asthma.
Could we test you? Would you be willing to be tested?
What is it, a pee test?
Well, I don't know. I'd rather do something with a needle. Jake, could you set up just a pee test?
Could you?
But it's got to be random. Don't tell
them. We got to make them eat meat first, though.
My meat in the middle.
Mexican meat, to be
right.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Shockingly, you two want me to eat some Mexican meat.
Someone put a meat necklace around my neck.
I'll take you down to San Antonio's and get you some carne asada.
I love meat any day.
Cook it up out here and feed it to you. But here's the deal. I want you to set it up to where the person that's conducting the test shows up in the 6 o'clock hour one day. It doesn't tell him.
Sure.
And then he's got a test.
Like USADA.
But then they watch him.
Yeah.
Right. So
I don't know the difference between albuterol and clenbuterol. They always give us albuterol.
You got that Google machine there.
Well, I did. And the Google machine says
is that what it is?
Albuterol has a shorter acting version of it. So
tell me what that is right there. Is that
Google
a
machine. Google
you
machine?
You got that Google machine.
I got it right here. Looked it up.
Put it to work.
I don't know. You have to take anything Victor Conte says with a grain of salt. I mean, he knows his steroids and everything, but he's also not exactly the most honest person in the world.
But see, that's if I want information about like a drug or something like that, right. I want to hear from someone.
Talk to Jake.
Right. Well, boy. But the point is, he's not.
He
doesn't have a dog in the fight. He's just, you know.
If you want to learn how to shoplift, you go talk to a shoplifter. You know. Yeah. You get it.
And Kevin Ioli went out of his way to say he's not working with either Golden Boy or Alvarez.
Right.
Ioli called him and said, hey, you know everything about PEDs. What do you think of this?
Yeah.
I mean, that's an expert witness, I would say.
You know what's interesting about Conte, too, is that he's like self-taught. Like he walked around when he was doing the Olympic, athlete stuff. He would walk around the Olympics with like a lab coat on and stuff. And pretend he was a doctor. He used to be the bass player in the band Tower of Power. But he doesn't like have a medical degree at all. He just learned all this stuff.
I taught myself how to do a lot.
You know what?
12 and 13.
With Google these days, you can become an expert on just about anything.
Steven, get out of the bathroom. Leave it alone, Mom. I'm self-taught. What?
No. I got the Google machine in here.
Oh, no. Thank goodness. When I was 12 or 13, there was no internet.
Oh, man.
You'd have never heard of me. I'd have been like...
Hey, where's my Sears catalog?
I'd have been like that episode of Quagmire that I showed you that one time when he just discovered the internet. Remember when he walked out of his house and one arm was like big and giant and veiny and muscular?
Hey, Peter.
And he runs back in the house.
Hey, Quagmire, what do you got there?
It's the new Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue. Check it out.
Those swimsuit issues don't excite me like they used to. I've been spoiled by internet porn.
It's true.
Totally.
What do you mean internet porn?
You, don't know about internet porn?
Don't know what? I'm not really a computer guy.
Quagmire, I would think you of all people would know about internet porn.
They've got like thousands, literally millions of naked pictures on the internet.
That's probably enough.
What?
Right.
And videos.
That's
thousands
enough.
Of
kids on the way to school.
Right. There we go.
Wait, what's that?
Ladies and gentlemen, Jake Gutierrez.
You're welcome.
For your listening pleasure.
And we'll your viewing pleasure.
Right.
Retroactive earmuffs, kids.
next segment. Next segment.
If we're here.
We're all going to talk about tainted meat for the rest of the show. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. I think Canelo consumed the tainted meat in the Tecate commercial that he filmed with Rocky when they were eating carne asada. And then Rocky put a piece of raw steak on Canelo's eye. And then Canelo was hitting a side of beef with Rocky. And so clearly he needs to stay away from Sylvester Stallone. Damn it, Canelo, I told you. Now we're very excited that we have a real basketball analyst with us. It was coming in and questioning Nate Bucati. And I think, do you listen to our intern when he comes in here and talks? Or do you just nod and type?
I just
kind of
glaze over and nod my head. Listening.
We have Mean Mug Michael, the intern from the Northland, who will be working with us down at the Big 12 tournament for the entire tournament, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday for the Miller Lite Fan Fest. Michael, good morning. How are you?
Pretty good. How are you guys doing?
Doing great now that you're in here. So now we've got we're going to ask you the same questions because you're a Kansas fan, even though you live in the Northland. And so we have to work on that.
Good man.
But so
behind
who do you,
enemy lines.
Okay, who do you want, Oklahoma or Oklahoma State for Kansas in the Big 12 tournament?
I don't want to see Oklahoma State again.
Oh, you've had so you're done with it.
I've had enough of them. Yeah,
he's done with it, Jake. He's had it. Is that the kind of attitude that you
poor attitude
that you're cultivating with the intern?
No,
is you're back there telling him that you don't want Oklahoma State again. Let's move on, Oklahoma. Is that what you do?
Let's not get us confused. I don't really talk to him. I write on a piece of paper and I put it here, and he comes and reads it.
Just like the kid smoking weed.
He knows how to read.
Just like the kid smoking weed in the commercial. I learned it from you, Dad. He's back there. He sees everything that you do. You lead by example. Well, is that the kind of behavior that you pass on to the interns?
I've failed him then. I mean, I think Oklahoma would probably be an easier
Maybe? What leads you to believe that?
The fact that they suck.
Right. No, the Harlem Globetrotters Washington General style game that we saw at Allen Fieldhouse.
Yeah.
Which part? When Bill Self threw the bucket of confetti at Lon Kruger? Or what was the what really pushed you over the edge there?
Started going through a fan's purse in the stands.
The Trae Young. Beep! Beep! Ball on the string. What else?
Thought it was over the top when Svi started drop kicking balls from the midcourt to see if he could punt one into the basket.
What did you just say?
Punt.
Oh. Okay, that's fine.
Kicking balls.
Okay, so you don't want anything to do with Oklahoma State. You want Oklahoma.
Yeah, give me Oklahoma.
Okay, so but do you think Oklahoma's going to beat Oklahoma State? Is that your pick?
No.
Okay, but you think Oklahoma State's going to win?
I think Oklahoma State's going to win, yeah.
Who will win? Texas needing a win to get into the NCAA tournament, or Iowa State, and they will have the fans. It'll basically be a road game for Texas.
Is Mo Bamba playing?
Is he playing, Nate?
I don't think so.
He's got a bad toe. I would feel like they've been holding him out so that he could play in this. I mean, they need him now. Mm-hmm. They're right there on the edge. They're on the bubble. And a loss to Iowa State, I feel like that could very well end their tournament chances, especially if Oklahoma State beats Oklahoma. So let's say Bamba plays.
Shaka Smart's not sure whether Mo Bamba will play in the Big 12 tournament opener.
Shaka Smart's not sure if he'll ever finish in the top for the Big 12. What? Who do you pick?
I think Iowa State. I think they come in. I think they get one win. Big crowd.
Does anybody want to get on that train? You like Iowa State?
I like that. I like that shout.
Jake Pounders. That's a very aggressive pick from your intern. What do you have to say to that?
He's an idiot.
Wow.
Dummy. You're a big dummy.
So you're gonna go with Texas then, huh?
Yeah.
Why? Give us a reason.
I think they're a better team. I think they have more to play for. I think they're going to be more motivated. I think that, they're better. And they're playing for their NCAA tournament lives. And, I think Shaka Smart might be coaching for his job. If he doesn't get this team to the tournament, that's...
Oh, really? Already?
Well, I mean, that's one tournament out of 3 years. I don't think that's what they expected when they paid him that money and they brought him in. So,
he's going to coach really hard this time. Really coach him hard.
Well, he might have his team motivated more.
Right.
I think Texas is a better team. I just think Iowa State, I think they're going to get a win.
The fans will make a difference, says Michael the intern. All right. Kansas State, will they beat TCU?
Yes.
Didn't seem like you liked saying that. Who will win the Big 12 tournament? He's thinking about it.
I think Kansas.
Oh, jeez. All right, moving on. SEC tournament.
Smart, you guys want to know how long Shaka Smart is signed through at Texas?
I think it's 2034 with an option for 35.
The 2023 season. At $3 million per year. Like, it's like they have to pay him something like $17 million if they want to
fire. They're all in, man. Hey, sounds like, hey, Jake, Will Nate. Oh, I got to give him time.
Oh, boy.
What? It's fun.
I know.
Will Nate, sounds like that contract's not very smart. Yeah! Well, Nate, you ready? Reload. Well, Nate, sounds like if Texas fires Smart, it would be a real shocker. Yeah! SEC tournament, will Missouri defeat the winner of Georgia and Vanderbilt?
Yeah. In St. Louis, they're rolling.
Will Michael Porter Jr. be on the floor?
I think so.
Oh, boy.
He's finally going to play, huh?
Jeez. I think so.
Then will they beat Kentucky?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Hey! See? Now we're talking.
Only if they have Michael Porter Jr.
Well, I don't know.
Because, you know, Colin Van Leer, I heard he tore his ACL.
He did.
That's a big piece they're missing.
Well,
there.
You know what? It's minutes. They're thin.
They
and
are.
The kid, the kid offered energy off the bench. Damn it.
That would be a quadrant one victory.
No, you need quadrant ones.
Yep.
How about quadrant none?
Well,
right.
I'm telling you, I'm a quadrant two fan.
I know, me too. That's my favorite quadrant.
I don't think that Georgia, who are they playing? Georgia Vandy?
Vandy. Yeah.
Georgia or Vanderbilt.
Either of those would be even a quadrant two victory.
Oh, really? What would lead you to believe that? The fact that they're both awful?
Well, Vanderbilt's 116th in the Rippy.
I think John Calipari said he wouldn't be surprised if Georgia won this whole damn thing.
Did he say that?
Okay, so I want that sound between now and 10 o'clock. Coach Cal's touting you. You find Coach Cal touting Georgia as a real dark horse in this tournament. Who knows? Well, that's any other final comments? Any other predictions? Anything else you need to
Well, you know what the question he posed to me when he walked in?
What's that?
What was the question you asked me?
See, you didn't listen, did you?
No, I just never listened. I don't want to.
What
I
is it?
Let him.
If Iowa State wins the Big 12 tournament, do all 10 teams get in?
No.
My answer would be no. But if Oklahoma State were to knock off Oklahoma and Kansas, and Iowa State gets all the way and wins it, I suppose it's possible.
What do you think of your intern coming in here and asking those type of questions, Jake?
I think, what's this off button for his mic here? Right? This one right here.
You know what? It was a hell of a run in this segment. Michael DiMaggio, our morning show intern, back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. I got a really nice email last night. Usually I get hate-filled emails. And then my wife will say, hey, did you get that email I sent you? I said, yeah, I got it. But this one was a really nice one from Ron or Cecil.
Ron right. Cecil.
Carlito's Way reference. Hey. SSJ, fellow Northlander and Mizzou fan, took your recommendation and watched Coco with my 7-year-old son tonight. OMG, great movie, and so thankful I got to watch this with my kiddo. So many great life lessons. Signed, Ron. That makes me so happy, honestly, because I tell you, I love that movie so much, and I told you, my wife and my boys and my girls, all ages, we fell in love with that movie, and I was so happy that it won a couple of Academy Awards for Best Song and Best Animated Movie. If you haven't seen it, if you got kids, I mean, I think you'll love it. I mean, I haven't talked to anyone, not only that didn't like it, but everyone I've talked to just like love it through the roof. The music's so good. And I mean, it's such a meaningful movie, especially to me and my background and how I was raised and my mother's side of the family, the Ontiveros side of the family that all come from Mexico. I love that movie with all of my heart. And so I'm so happy that Ron heard me talking about it, watched with his son, and loves it too. That's like the coolest email I've received in a long, long time.
All right, I got one for you too then. I got an email from Ray yesterday who said, hello, Mr. Bucati. Hey. I hope all's well. Was listening to the Border Patrol as I do every morning, and I overheard you say you still haven't seen Coco. Here's an iTunes redeemable code for you and your family, dear friend. You and the rest of the morning crew bring many smiles and laughter to my life, and I hope this small token of my appreciation is the same for you and yours. So one of our listeners gave me a digital code to watch the movie with my family.
Yes, sir.
Now will you watch it?
Yeah, but I got to wait. We do movie nights on Friday nights in my family, and I want to watch the whole movie with the whole family.
You heard it. Everyone invited to Nate's house on Friday to watch Coco. Can't wait. I will bring the tequila to put in the Coco. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you for watching us on 38 The Spot. Thanks for... Mean Mug, Michael the intern, graduate of St. Gabe's and St. Pius, for coming in here and showing us how much he's learned from Jake. He's really blossomed under the tutelage of Jake Pounders. It's very heartwarming to see that relationship bloom. So, as Jake shakes his head, and Jake claims that he just found out his name during that segment. Jake, you know what? The truth matters. We appreciate it. Bloom is here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.